Well, happy fifth or fourth day of the week, and glad you can join us. It's good to be online, and as is our wont to start, I've got a little story for you. When a certain lake in Central Africa was discovered, it had no outlet, and the water was brackish and unfit for use. When Cameron and Stanley visited the lake later, apparently well-known individuals, it was beginning to dribble into the Lukaga River and thence into the Congo. Shortly afterward, it burst the barrier and flowed out in a full stream, which it has maintained ever since. Within 20 years, the water in the lake became pure and wholesome. Delicious. Fish abound, providing food for many birds and those living near its shores. What's the narrative here? What is it we can draw from that picture? That giving is part of the Christian or the true Christian's way of life. He or she shares so others may also receive the blessings of the gospel. Remember Christ said, quoting Paul, when he said in Acts 20 verse 35, remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said it is more blessed to give than receive. I've chosen for the opening song tonight. We have song before prayer. Thank you. Usually. It's good to hear you, Luce. Yeah, I think we'll have this one. Look upon Jesus, sinless is he. Father, impute his life unto me. For those who know the psalm, please feel free to take a verse. Look upon Jesus, sinless is he. Father, impute his life unto me. My life of scarlet, my sin and his love. Cover with his life, whiter than snow. Fullness of his life, then shall I know. My life of scarlet, my sin and woe, color with his life, whiter than snow.
Deep are the wounds transgression has made, red are the stains, my soul is afraid. Oh, to be covered, Jesus, with thee. Save from the law that now judgeth me. Cover with his life, whiter than snow. Fullness of his life, then shall I know. My life of scarlet, my sin and woe, cover with his life, whiter than snow.
Longing the joy of pardon to know, Jesus holds out a robe white as snow. Lord, I accept it, leaving my own. Gladly I wear thy pure life alone. cover with his life, whiter than snow, fullness of his light, then shall I know. My life of scarlet, my sin and woe, cover with his life, whiter than snow.
Reconciled by his death for my sin, justified by his life pure and clean, sanctified by obeying his word, a ring but when returneth my Lord. Cover with his life whiter than snow, fullness of his life, then shall I know. My life of scarlet, my sin and woe, cover with his life whiter than snow.
Oh, yeah, praise the Lord. Amen. Isn't it beautiful? Reconciled by his death for my sin, justified by his life, pure and clean, sanctified by obeying his word, glorified when returneth my Lord. Amen. Well, before we have our Bible reading for today, let's have a word of prayer. If you're able, let's kneel before the Lord. Father in heaven, thank you very much for bringing us together through another week, halfway through, safely through another week, and the hope and joy of knowing you'll do that for the rest of our life if we'll let you. Thank you that Jesus is our assurance of such things, and our merits are his as we cling to him. The name in the Lord is as a tower, the righteous runneth into it, and are safe. Thank you for particularly revealing yourself to us on a personal level as we continue in thy word, having our private studies. And of course, with this blessing, this is like a highlight of the week amidst it, and that being fellowship with other brothers and sisters of like faith. And we feel for souls that aren't with us, who would love to be with us, we believe, if they just knew more about you, if they just knew about the whole plan of redemption. And I don't just speak of Christians stuck in Babylon, but I mean people that don't know anything about Babylon or Jesus Christ, Satan, and the majesty of heaven. The great controversy thing that's going on, has been and will continue, and we're nearly ending shortly. The greatest battle that'll be ever fought. Thank you, Jesus. You've actually fought that battle, and that in you we will be victorious. And although we see all about us harbingers of the realities of a worldwide extent of what that's going to involve, the whole world, as we especially we reach Revelation 13, how this is brought out again, just like in the book of Daniel, that the significance of what's going on about us, there's so many like typologies have yet to be experienced when we are told it is the law of man to break the law of God and to keep a day that has no higher authority than a sinful man, a sinful system.
with the help of apostate Protestantism bolstering it, as it is this day. Help us warn quickly. Indeed, help us. We're thankful that restrictions that have, you know, come with threats of fines, that we can avoid fines with the warnings, and ask you to help us prepare the way to make sure that we do all that we can to avoid it, and yet remain active as far as possible, and help us never think to be inactive as part of your plan. And please, Spirit, teach us what is the wisest thing to do under our particular and personal, and as a home church, and as home churches in different areas of this world, to work together and for you with an eye single to the glory of God, to quickly finish this work and to dare to do much, because we expect much, because Jesus is everything to us. Help this become a greater deal in volume of our faith, so that we would not limit the Holy One of Israel, but increase in understanding and gain the blessings, like the faithful of old, like we're told in Hebrews 11, of the successors. And though many were hurt and killed, they're going to have a greater resurrection than most because of it. They love their lives unto the death. Help us, as we're not threatened with martyrdom as such yet, but to love not our lives to the death, in holding on to those things that actually lead to death, sin, namely. Inspire us, Jesus, with thy words of truth as we continue in the chapter 12, halfway through the book of Revelation, just over now, that we might see more of the tender care over your church throughout the ages, to buoy up our spirits in this last days of Earth's history as well as church history. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we're picking it up from verse 10 of chapter 12 of Revelation. And last week we looked at the man-child, which was the Messiah that was brought forth by the church, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God, which we could look at as the ascension. And of course, before the ascension came the resurrection, so 40 days later, as we're told in the book of Acts, and caught up to God's throne. We could look at that from the point of view of the high priestly ministry Jesus is filling right now. First in the holy and then the most holy place, which we know from the longest time prophecy, 2300 years, being Daniel 8:14, starting on the 22nd of October 1844. And then we are told about the overall survival of God's church through the various agencies God would employ to preserve, strengthen, and build up the church during the time when she would be severely persecuted. We get the preparation of it. And of course, as we're going to go into more detail as we continue chapter 12, we also had that time period, the 1260 days, mentioned in verse 6, which, as we know, is seven times in the books of Daniel and Revelation mentioned. It's 1260 days in Revelation 11:3, and this verse, verse 6 of chapter 12, 42 months, Revelation 11:2, chapter 13:5, and as 3.5 times in Daniel 7:25, chapter 12, verse 7, and Revelation 12:14. And we know, we looked at it a number of times, that this period would start from 538 to AD 1798 as the period covered when General Berthier, Napoleon Bonaparte's general, took the Pope captive. And the papacy was no more for a season. And it was during this period we looked at a number of Spirit of Prophecy quotes, that God's hand was over the church, preserving it from extinction. And as we continue reading today, we looked at last week the significance of Christians being forced to choose either to yield their integrity and accept the papal ceremonies and worship, or to wear away their lives in dungeons or suffer death by the rack, the faggot, or the headsman's axe. Persecution opened upon the faithful with greater fury than ever before, and the world became a vast battlefield. For hundreds of years, the Church of Christ found refuge in seclusion and obscurity. We also found last week that Satan and his angels were cast out of heaven in ages past. 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 4, prior to the creation of this world. You can find that in Patriarchs and Prophets, pages 36 to 42, compared with early writings, pages 145 and 146, Great Controversy, page 498 to 500, Three Spiritual Gifts, pages 36 to 39, and One Spirit of Prophecy, pages 17 to 33. But it seems that until the cross, he had access to heavenly beings, and to a limited extent possibly as prince of this world, to quote Jesus, but not as an inhabitant of heaven, to the precincts of heaven. And you can find that in Josiah of Ages, page 761, and Story of Redemption, pages 26 and 27. So a decisive casting out occurred at the cross, as our Lord himself declared would be the case, John chapter 12, verses 31 and 32, which could be compared with the Spirit of Prophecy, Patriarchs and Prophets, pages 68 to 70, Desire of Ages 490, 679, and 758. And so we finish with verse 9, that old serpent, which we know is a reference to the one who was used to deceive Eve back in Genesis chapter 3, the devil is also mentioned, which is the meaning being a slanderer, and Satan, which is adversary, was cast out, and his angels were cast out with him. And notice it said, we looked at who deceiveth the whole world, was cast out into the earth. The controversy in heaven began over plans for the creation of man. You can find that in Three Spiritual Gifts, page 36. When the earth was created and Adam was appointed its vicegerent, Satan directed his efforts at overthrowing the newly created man. When he succeeded in bringing about the downfall of Adam and Eve, he claimed the earth as his domain. And we find that in one of the temptations he administered or made happen toward Jesus in the wilderness, where he fasted 40 days and 40 nights, Jesus. But he didn't confine his efforts to this earth, but tempted also the inhabitants of other worlds. We can find that specifically in early writings 290. And not until the second coming of Christ will Satan be completely confined to this earth, which we will find in Revelation 20, verse 3, and to use a Spirit of Prophecy quote, or two of them, early writings, page 290, and Desire of Ages, 490. So that's where we got up last time. So we pick it up at verse 10, and who would like to start us off reading verse 10? And, of course, anyone have any comments, questions, insights they want to share, any homework they've done on it, or whether it be years ago or not, please share. Looking forward to it.
I just wanted to share something, what I just saw in the picture. If you hadn't noticed, the angel that is closest to us looking at it, he has his fist like he just got out of a fight and stuff. So I'm like, that's gotta be Satan. Because they're kind of like, Sister Joan says, they're kind of like falling quite rapidly or fast and stuff. But I just noticed that about the one angel. I didn't see that before. So I just wanted to comment on that, if anybody else had seen it. So.
And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night.
Amen. That's happy news.
Hello, you.
Hello, Sister Chaka.
Hello. Welcome. Good evening. Good evening.
Good to hear your voice. Glad you could join us.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to be here on a Wednesday evening. And hello to everyone else. Well,
may I say something? Chaka is here. Just letting you know, Sister Chaka, that Monday nights we have started up the women's meeting again. I'm not sure if you were in when Brother Rob announced it on Sabbath. So I'm just letting you know we have started back up with the women's meeting.
Well, good, and thank you very much. Thank you. Glad to have that. Thank you.
Sister Chaka, your mic is on. Please hit *9 to turn it off.
Thank you very much for the women's group being back on.
And keeping that in prayer, it's great to have the women's meeting back on and running. So we have here a wonderful demonstration of the thanksgiving from a loud voice saying in heaven. And you can imagine the plan of God had been revealed before in heaven, but now the heavenly intelligences, perhaps it's their very voice that's joining because of the fact that it says for the accuser of our brethren. Isn't that lovely to think that we're regarded as brethren and sisterin to the unfallen heavenly angels? I mean, it's even greater to think of it from God's point of view, of course, that we could, what's that wonderful words, John not using, you know, the language he had, Greek, behold what manner of love the Father bestowed upon us that we shall be called the sons and daughters of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not because it knew him not, but to be called that. Which is to say, once upon a time, we were not that. And it's only because of his mercy and his great plan of salvation, he sees what we can become through Jesus, that we get this title, wonderful title. So they sing this song, and they had witnessed Satan's malignity like never before against Christ, revealed ultimately at Calvary, obviously throughout Christ's life, not to mention at the very beginning of his life, so he shouldn't even have a chance to fulfill it. I mean, how unfair is that? But this is the way the devil works. Any way he can win, the end justifies the means. Another organization he inspires, who uses that as a watchword for their organization, namely the Jesuits. So Satan, we know, must have contended that he was the rightful ruler of this world, because it says now that the kingdom of our God, now has come the kingdom of our God. You know, he claimed this, but because he was not successful in leading Jesus to sin, even in one thought, it assured the kingdom for Christ, and hence why we have them saying, and the power of his Christ, or the power of his anointed. Now, we know from the book of Job that, and also the book of Zechariah, chapter 3, verse 1, specifically Job in its first and second chapters, that Satan was the accuser of the brethren and sisters in the Old Testament days. And this role, he has continued since the cross, but in a restricted sense. And what a thought, he was not slow to work. Amen, says a comment in the room. How wise and loving is our God to separate good from evil. Oh, yes, didn't just say, oh, well, I can't give you up. I'm going to have to let evil live forever with me. Oh, no. Masterful plan. We read last week there was a quote from the Spirit of Prophecy saying that it was a very long, it didn't say very long, it was a long time that the devil and his angels that were being deceived by him, that he was allowed an opportunity to change, to repent, to acknowledge his fault. Remembering he'd been before the very presence of God, which you could actually see, and he could talk with God and commune with him, and along with the other angels. No doubt one of the reasons they never had a plan of redemption enforced for the angels like human beings have. I've got some quotes here from the Spirit of Prophecy dealing with this accusing of the brethren, and there's quite a lot, and there are books on it. I've got some quotes here, and perhaps each quote a brother or sister might like to read. It's about 5 quotes from different portions of, you know, the over 100,000 pages of manuscript from Ellen White's pen on this very verse, chapter 12, verse 11. Just got to try and get some room here. Okay, so who would like to read the first one, which comes from, well, I'll let someone read it for us, but I'd like to read the first portion.
The casting down of Satan as an accuser of the brethren in heaven was accomplished by the great work of Christ in giving his life. Notwithstanding Satan's persistent opposition, the plan of redemption was being carried out. Man was esteemed of sufficient value for Christ to sacrifice his life for him. Satan, knowing that the empire he had usurped would in the end be wrested from him, determined to spare no pains to destroy as many as possible of the creatures whom God had created in his image. He hated man because Christ had manifested for him such forgiving love and pity, and he now prepared to practice upon him every species of deception by which he might be lost. He pursued his course with more energy because of his own hopeless condition. 7 BC 973, paragraph 10. Satan saw that his disguise was torn away, his administration was laid open, and it disappeared off the top of my screen. Before the fallen angels and before the heavenly universe, he had revealed himself as a murderer. By shedding the blood of the Son of God, he had uprooted himself from the sympathies of the heavenly beings. Henceforth, his work was restricted. Whatever attitude he might assume, he could no longer await the angels as they came from the heavenly courts and before them accuse Christ's brethren. Of being clothed with the garments of blackness and the defilement of sin. The last link of sympathy between Satan and the heavenly world was broken. Desire of Ages, 761, paragraph 2. Yet Satan was not then destroyed. The angels did not even then understand all that was involved in the great controversy. The principles at stake were to be more fully revealed. And for the sake of man, Satan's existence must be continued. Man as well as angels must see the contrast between the Prince of Life and the Prince of Darkness. He must choose whom he will serve. In the opening of the great controversy, Satan had declared that the law of God could not be obeyed, that justice was inconsistent with mercy, and that should the law be broken, it would be impossible for the sinner to be pardoned. Every sin must meet its punishment, urged Satan, and if God should remit the punishment of sin, he could not be a God of truth and justice. When men broke the law of God and defied his will, Satan exalted. Let's see. It was proved, he declared, that the law could not be obeyed. Man could not be forgiven. Because he, after his rebellion, had been banished from heaven, Satan claimed that the human race must be forever shut out of God's favor. God could not be just, he urged, and yet show mercy to the sinner. But even as a sinner, man was in a different position from that of Satan. Lucifer in heaven had sinned in the light of God's glory. To him, as to no other created being, was given a revelation of God's love. Understanding the character of God, knowing his goodness, Satan chose to follow his own selfish, independent will. This choice was final. There was no more that God could do to save him. But man was deceived. His mind was darkened by Satan's sophistry. The height and depth of the love of God he did not know. For him there was hope in a knowledge of God's love. By beholding his character, he might be drawn back to God. Desire of Ages 761. Praise the Lord. Satan was once an honored angel in heaven next to Christ. His countenance, like those of the other angels, was mild and expressive of happiness. His forehead was high and broad, showing great intellect. His form was perfect, his bearing noble and majestic. But when God said to his Son, "Let us make man in our image," Satan was jealous of Jesus. He wished to be consulted concerning the formation of man, and because he was not, he was filled with envy, jealousy, and hatred. He desired to receive the highest honors in heaven next to God. Early Writings 145:1. Well, as long as you keep feeding it to me, James, I guess I'll keep reading. Whoops. There. Until this time, all heaven had been in order.
Brother, go ahead. I was just going to say, it's interesting what you just read back there, how it was the Father that said, "Let us make man in our image," and he says that to his Son, and that's what got Satan's backup as a created being, which it shouldn't have got his backup, but it's significant. You know, when we read in the Genesis account, it's the Father speaking until the fall occurs, and Moses doesn't even make the distinction, because it says that God walked in the cool of the day and yelled out, "Adam, Adam." Of course, that was Jesus Christ, and of course the Father and the Son were doing these things together, and as soon as sin occurs, then Jesus continues. We don't call him Jesus until the incarnation, but the Son of God continues the work of conversing with the sinful pair and onwards. Of course, the Father comes down at Mount Sinai with the Son, but it's very significant, isn't it? It makes it clear who's speaking in the Genesis account and when the transference occurs between the members of the Godhead. If you're happy to read, bro, why don't you read, I think you've read two, why don't you read the rest of this early writings passage? I haven't put spaces in between because I should have, it would have really helped. Perhaps if you go up to 145.2, so just find out where you read from. Okay, it was here, wasn't it? Until this time, all heaven.
Until this time, all heaven had been in order, harmony, and perfect subjection to the government of God. It was the highest sin to rebel against his order and will. All heaven seemed in commotion. The angels were marshaled in companies, each division with a higher commanding angel at its head. Satan, ambitious to exalt himself and unwilling to submit to the authority of Jesus, was insinuating against the government of God. Some of the angels sympathized with Satan in his rebellion. His name was Lucifer then. And others strongly contended for the honor and wisdom of God in granting authority to his Son. There was contention among the angels. Satan and his sympathizers were striving to reform the government of God. They wished to look into his unsearchable wisdom and ascertain his purpose in exalting Jesus and endowing him with such unlimited power and command. They rebelled against the authority of the Son. All the heavenly hosts were summoned to appear before the Father to have each case decided. It was there determined that Satan should be expelled from heaven with all the angels who had joined him in the rebellion. Then there was war in heaven. Angels were engaged in battle. Satan wished to conquer the Son of God and those who were submissive to his will. But the good and true angels prevailed, and Satan and his followers were driven from heaven. Early Writings 145:2. It's interesting, I just got a letter from Anna in Colombia, and the students down there are doing the same thing. They're rebelling against the rules of the school and demanding all sorts of things that the president of the school said, no, the only right you have is the right to not be here and protest. the devil doesn't quit.
The widow's prayer, avenge me, do me justice, of mine adversary, represents the prayer of God's children. Satan is their great adversary. He is the accuser of our brethren, who accuses them before God day and night, Revelation 12:10. He is continually working to misrepresent and accuse, to deceive and destroy the people of God. And it is for deliverance from the power of Satan and his agents that in this parable, Christ teaches his disciples to pray. In the prophecy of Zechariah is brought to view Satan's accusing work and the work of Christ in resisting the adversary of his people. The prophet says, he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. Zechariah 3:1-3 and Christ Subject Lessons 166, paragraph 3. The people of God are here represented as a criminal on trial. Joshua, as high priest, is seeking for a blessing for his people who are in great affliction. While he is pleading before God, Satan is standing at his right hand as his adversary. He is accusing the children of God and making their case appear as desperate as possible. He presents before the Lord their evil doings and their defects. He shows their faults and failures, hoping they will appear of such a character in the eyes of Christ, that he will render them no help in their great need. Joshua, as the representative of God's people, stands under condemnation, clothed with filthy garments. Aware of the sins of his people, he is weighed down with discouragement. Satan is pressing upon his soul a sense of guiltiness that makes him feel almost hopeless. Yet there he stands as a suppliant, with Satan arrayed against him. The work of Satan as an accuser began in heaven. This has been his work on earth ever since man's fall, and it will be his work in a special sense as we approach nearer to the close of this world's history. As he sees that his time is short, he will work with greater earnestness to deceive and destroy. He is angry when he sees a people on the earth who, even in their weakness and sinfulness, have respect to the law of Jehovah. He is determined that they shall not obey God. He delights in their unworthiness and has devices prepared for every soul that all may be ensnared and separated from God. He seeks to accuse and condemn God and all who strive to carry out his purposes in this world of in mercy and love, in compassion and forgiveness. Every manifestation of God's power for his people arouses the enmity of Satan. Every time God works in their behalf, Satan with his angels works with renewed vigor to compass their ruin. He is jealous of all who make Christ their strength. His object is to instigate evil, and when he has succeeded, throw all the blame upon the tempted ones. He points to their filthy garments, their defective characters. He presents their weakness and folly, their sins of ingratitude, their unlikeness to Christ, which have dishonored their Redeemer. All this he urges as an argument, proving his right to work his will in their destruction. He endeavors to affright their souls with the thought that their case is hopeless, that the stain of their defilement can never be washed away. He hopes so to destroy their faith that they will yield fully to his temptations and turn from their allegiance to God. The Lord's people cannot of themselves answer the charges of Satan. As they look to themselves, they are ready to despair, but they appeal to the divine advocate. They plead the merits of the Redeemer. God can be just, and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus, Romans 3:26. With confidence, the Lord's children cry unto him to silence the accusations of Satan and bring to naught his devices. Do me justice of mine adversary, they pray, and with the mighty argument of the cross, Christ silences the bold accuser. Christ's Object Lessons, 168, paragraph 2. I'm afraid my voice is getting out, Brother James. Can someone else take over? Sorry about that.
Thank you, sis. Coming across loud and clear.
The Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? When Satan seeks to cover the people of God with blackness and ruin them, Christ interposes. Although they have sinned, Christ has taken the guilt of their sins upon his own soul. He has snatched the race as a brand from the fire. By his human nature, he is linked with man, while through his divine nature, he is one with the infinite God. Help is brought within the reach of perishing souls. The adversary is rebuked. Colossians 1:69, paragraph 1. Should I go ahead? Okay. Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel, and he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with change of raiment. And I said, let them set a fair mitre upon his head. So they set a fair mitre upon his head and clothed him with garments. Then with the authority of the Lord of hosts, the angel made a solemn pledge to Joshua, the representative of God's people. If thou wilt walk in my ways, and if thou wilt keep my charge, then thou shalt also judge my house, and shalt also keep my courts. And I will give thee places to walk among these that stand by, even among the angels that surround the throne of God. Zechariah 3:3-7, Colossians 1:69, paragraph 2. Notwithstanding the defects of the people of God, Christ does not turn away from the objects of his care. He has the power to change the raiment. He removes the filthy garments. He places upon the repenting, believing ones his own robe of righteousness and writes pardon against their names on the records of heaven. He confesses them as his before the heavenly universe. Satan, their adversary, is shown to be an accuser and deceiver. God will do justice for his own elect. Colossians 1:69, paragraph 3. The prayer, do me justice of mine adversary, applies not only to Satan, but to the agencies whom he instigates to misrepresent, to tempt, and to destroy the people of God. Those who have decided to obey the commandments of God will understand by experience that they have adversaries who are controlled by a power from beneath. Such adversaries beset Christ at every step how constantly and determinedly no human being can ever know. Christ's disciples, like their master, are followed by continual temptation, Colossians 1:70, paragraph 1. Unsanctified ministers are arraying themselves against God. They are praising Christ and the God of this world in the same breath. While professedly they receive Christ, they embrace Barabbas and by their actions say, not this man, but Barabbas. Let all who read these lines take heed. Satan has made his boast of what he can do. He thinks to dissolve the unity which Christ prayed might exist in his church. He says, I will go forth and be a lying spirit to deceive those that I can, to criticize and condemn and falsify. Let the son of deceit and false witness be entertained by a church that has had great light, great evidence, and that church will discard the message the Lord has sent and receive the most unreasonable assertions and false suppositions and false theories. Satan laughs at their folly, for he knows what truth is. Testimony to Ministers, I think, 409, verse, or paragraph 2.
Amen and amen. Some very meaty insights on this one verse in Revelation brought out with the help of other books of the Bible, particularly Zechariah in this instance. And that last book was Christ's Object Lessons. It looks like Colossians, doesn't it, as well?
Oh, sorry.
That's all right. I thought the same too at times, and it's just the way it looks. But does anyone have anything they'd like to share what we've read on this particular point? Now, there's a number of points covered, but mainly, significantly, is the accusing day and night, this full-time job Satan has assumed. And we read actually a little earlier that in a spirit of prophecy quote, that he actually began it in heaven. And you think, well, how did he begin it in heaven? Because of the angels that wouldn't agree with him. He didn't get two-thirds of them. But after that, you know, thereafter, when man fell, it was on this earth carried out on a great scale, as it is this day. Is there anything anyone would like to share? Any questions, any comments, any insights? Please go right ahead.
Well, good night to everyone. I have another Bible study I have to attend. And so good night. See you Friday and have a good evening. Thank you.
Thank you for coming, dear sis. And pray your Bible study goes very well. And
all right. Thanks. Bye.
What an ego self the devil has to be in the presence of his creator and think that he knows more than the one who created him and created heaven and created the whole universe, and yet stubborn and persistent in trying to destroy everything good that God has created just to hurt God. For understanding and pointing out that the devil was a liar and a liar from the beginning.
I think it's really revealing that it points out Satan's effort to destroy the unity in the church or among Christ's people. And he makes this his boast. So if you find yourself encouraged to do something that's going to create strife, it's going to divide, then you can know just from these two sentences that Satan is behind it. It's not the spirit of God that's behind it. It's the spirit of the evil one.
Isn't it interesting that a church that has had the message that God has sent would fall for it, would fall for lies? And I think it starts with criticizing and condemning other brothers in the church. It's not the spirit of love. It's the spirit of evil.
Amen and amen. And you know, we look at that last sentence and it says, for he knows what truth is. You certainly got an upper hand on someone if you know what the truth is. And he's, as we read earlier, I mean, we read it from Ezekiel 28, Isaiah 14, the significance of how much honor and the highest position a created being could have. That's what Satan had. Which was referred to beforehand as Lucifer before he fell and became an adversary. So he knows what truth is, even though he does all the evil things that he does. Still got a brilliant memory to know what truth is, to deceive and to mislead, to think that gain is great godliness, you know, material things or position. And he laughs. He finds it the most part of his joy. And he's a full-time worker. He's never gone part-time. He's never gone on holidays from this work. But he is cast down. We have all the truth we need in the Bible and with the gift of the Spirit of Prophecy continuing down to the end of time, the ministry of Alan G. White. So we know all that we need to know to overcome. Did someone want to share something? I can hear a speaker and I can't see who it is. Well, so we'll leave it there for this week, I think, and we'll go pick it up from verse 11 onwards. And looking forward to going into greater detail on this, the specific events that the devil has and will be involved in and is involved in as we continue through seeing the way in which he works when he realizes he's cast to the earth and doesn't have the power he once had to try to persuade the heavenly intelligences that he is right. Does anyone have anything to share? Any testimonies, any praises, any prayer requests before we open it up to a season of prayer? Please go right ahead.
How about a praise? Two or three weeks ago, we were in Hot Springs. It was raining. I set a little stool by the door of the van for Elaine to use to climb up in and out of. And that day, I had a buggy to get rid of, an umbrella in one hand. I forgot my stool and left it on the ground and drove away and got to the next store and reached for the stool and it wasn't there. I went back quickly. It was missing. I may have told you this. And so I went inside and asked the lady, or the greeter, that's the person that stands at the door of Walmart and says, "Welcome, welcome, come in." And hands us a cart. I said, "Did anybody bring a stool in?" "No," she said, "I didn't see anybody." Ah. So I went back out in the yard and I sat, told Elaine, I said, "I'm going to stay here until the driver of this car comes, because that's, he took the place he took our place when we left." He came, I spoke to him, no, he hadn't seen anything. Ah. "Okay, I'll wait till the driver of this other car comes and maybe he'll know something." He came. No, he didn't know anything either. Oh, my. What do I do? I wonder if this place has a lost and found. So I went inside and went down to the service desk and asked, "Is this a lost and found?" Yeah. So I stood in line. And while I'm standing there, one of the employees walks up and speaks to another employee and says, "I'm looking for a stool. The lady out there says she lost a stool." She said, another lady said, "Well, it's in behind." And as he walked past me, I said, "That's what we're looking for." And he picked it up and I said, "That's it." And he gave it to me and we went away happy and grateful and thankful in any other way you want to describe it. We got our stool back. Well, this week, we managed to leave a wallet in the buggy when we got done unloading our things into the car and drove off to the next store and made some purchases and reached for the little card that you wave in front of the machine to get a discount, and we didn't have it. Oh, no. So we went back there. I said, "Now, this time I'm going to Lost and Found and see if somebody turned it in." And I got to the desk, and the lady said, "What can I do for you?" I said, "We were here a little while ago and did some shopping, and somehow we have lost a little brown wallet about this size with a lanyard on it. Is it possible that somebody found it and turned it in?" She reached under the counter and brought it up and said, "Is this it?" I said, "That's the very one." So we praised the Lord twice. Somebody was honest out there. It could have gone in a pocket. The stool could have gone in the back of somebody else's car, and they could have said, "Wow, we got us a nice stool." But they chose to turn it in to Lost and Found, and we got it back, and we're thankful for that. That's our praise for this week.
Amen. That reminds me, one time, Michelle and I drove up to a store, and somehow I got distracted and left my front door wide open, and we ended up walking into the store. We ended up shopping for 45 minutes, come back out, and of course I noticed my door's wide open, and I'm saying, "Oh no, someone broke into the car." And then it started to dawn on me that I had left the door wide open. No one had gotten into the car. Maybe someone thought, or the Lord had them think, that I was sleeping in the back seat or something. Because everything was the same inside the car. No one had come in and rifled through anything. And we were just praising the Lord. I mean, it was my fault. It was my side of the door that was open, you know. And God is very merciful to our weakness.
Yes, this wallet that we lost had no money in it. It had no ID, nothing. It had some cards that you present to get a discount here, or a card that you get a discount somewhere else. And the lady, when she found it, when I went to ask for it, and when she returned it to me, she said there was nothing in there, that no phone number or anything. We didn't know how to make any contact. And I told Lane about it. She said, well, they could have checked with Kroger, and Kroger would have told them who that card belonged to. But anyway, this has happened several times. One time in California, as I slid out of the passenger side of the truck to pick up something, my wallet just squeezed right out of my pocket and fell on the ground. And it had everything in it that you carry in your wallet. And we didn't realize that until we were way down the road headed for, this is California, we were headed for Arkansas. So we had to wait for a round trip to go back. And when we got there, I went into the store in front of which I had, it turned out I had lost it, and sure enough, they had it, and they gave it back to me. It was something else I was going to say. It seems like I returned a favor one time, but I can't bring it to mind right now. So I'll release my mic.
When I was working for the dentist who had an office at least 30 miles away from my home, I got home and it started to nag on me that I'd forgotten to lock the gates, and I couldn't find the keys anywhere. And it was a big bunch of keys, because all the keys to the office were on this ring plus the keys to the gates. And I couldn't find them anywhere. And I thought, oh, I must have dropped them out there. So I drove all the way back to the office and looked around, and the gates were locked. But there was no keys, and I had to have the keys to get back in the office in the morning, because it was my job to open up the office and get it all ready. Anyway, I drove back home and I looked and looked and looked for the keys, and I couldn't find them. And so I prayed a special prayer, God, you know where those keys are, and I don't. Please help me find them. And do you know where they were? I had worn a coat, and I stuck them in the coat pocket, and I hung the coat up in the closet. And it finally got through to me that I better look in the closet in that one coat, and there they were. And I praise God for that. That just involved me in a pile, you might say, a messy pile for at least 2 or 3 hours. And I just praise God that He unlocked the memory banks in my mind to make me think about that.
Oh, I know what I was going to say. I pulled up and parked in a slot at a truck stop in Nashville, and looked down on the passenger side at the ground, and laying there where a tire would run over it was someone's cell phone. So I picked it up and brought it in the cab and started playing with it. It was not like ours, and I couldn't really make heads or tails of it. I thought, you know, if I could call somebody who's in there little phone directory and tell them, try to describe the phone and make contact, I'd return the thing. And pretty soon the phone rang. So I answered it. And the guy said, did you find my phone? I said, describe it. He described it to me. I says, walk out the west door of the TA and I'll be the truck right in front, and I'll give it back to you. And boy, he was happy, I'll tell you. He said he had all his business on that phone. So, what comes around goes around.
And Brother Dick, you've reminded me also of another a big thank you that I've shared with you a year or two ago, but I'll go through it again very quickly. I was shopping, took my, I think you called it a cart, but took my shopping trolley out, unloaded everything into the cart, and then put the trolley back, went on to the next shop, which was several minutes away by car, realised I didn't have my wallet, so I rushed back to the first shop, asked if anyone had handed in, they hadn't. And I thought, oh, what do I do now? And then I went back to where I'd put the trolley, and bothered me, the whole shopping bag with the wallet in it was still sitting in the trolley, and it had been there for at least 10 minutes, and it was there waiting for me to come and pick it up. Praise God indeed.
Man, you remind me. I don't think I've shared this before, but years ago I was getting my rent out, and I pay it in cash. I don't transfer one bank to another. And it wasn't in my wallet when I was about to pay. And I thought, oh, no, what have I done? Oh, I must have dropped it on the way to the car. Oh, this is exactly how I reacted. I thought, oh, well, I'll just ring up, you know, the last steps. And I rang up Coles, a big store. And she said, yes, a kind gentleman dropped it off. And it's yours when you come in. Oh, what a relief. What a blessing. Mm. In fact, this reminds, speaking of praises, this week on Sunday I went to a went to churches about 50 miles away, so about 60 miles away, about 90 so kilometres. We use kilometres here, and it wasn't to rain until the afternoon, but it started to twinkle a little bit, and I had a couple of churches to go. And they were quite big. And I pray, God, it's raining, definitely. It's definitely raining. I couldn't deny it was on my car, and as far as I know. But I know that sometimes it can rain, and it's not raining where you put the tracks. And then I just prayed that something, you might give me some way of knowing that it wasn't for nothing, because it's a long way to travel for couple of hours for the churches, and with that risk that it could rain, but it was said to rain in the afternoon. Anyway, when Monday came, I must have got more texts than I ever have, phone calls, about four of them in one Monday. That's the most I've ever had just on the Monday. Usually it can be pittering out, and most don't leave messages, and I suspect it was related to the church just having experience in the past. So I'm thankful that I had so many responses. Potentially they wanted to say, hey, we didn't appreciate, but they didn't leave a negative, but it was just enough, you know, to let me see, oh, you know what? You know, obviously they got them. They could have just said, why'd you leave a wet track on my car as well as? But none of that. It reminds me of another time when Brother Laverne was here. The same thing happened. It was raining. I said, oh, What can I have proof that you have heard me? And then someone sent a picture. They took a picture of the track and the flyer, and they just sent it to me, said nothing else. And I thought, well, if that's not an answer, like it wasn't drippy or that, you can read it. And then I thought, oh, that's just, so like, that's, I just had that this Sunday. It was a real relief. And it's so good to hear you share stories, brothers and sisters. I think we could write books, but it's so, what a joy, what the power of the tongue to share the goodness of God in an instant with other people and of the faith. Does anyone else have any praises to share?
Yes, I'm so thankful we've been having such hot weather. There were three of us that we're walking around the outside of the senior center. Recently, they've had a big to-do with the senior center, and all of the old staff are quitting, and the county is taking over and they don't have too many new staff yet. Well, it was so hot, even at 9 o'clock in the morning, that when I saw the old manager, well, assistant manager there, I asked him if we would be able to walk inside. He said, oh, sure, no problem. Well, I found out that he's planning to quit too, but he was still there. So we walked Monday morning inside with the air conditioning, and it felt so good. So today, I thought, well, we'll go walk inside, but I didn't see the assistant manager. I saw new county people, but they never said a word. They let us walk, no mask, no nothing. And after we walked, as I was going out the door, I saw they have a sign posted that we're still supposed to wear masks. And I thought, well, you know what? I haven't worn one yet, and until they stop me and send me out or tell me I have to have one, I'm still going in without a mask. But praise the Lord, we get to walk inside where it's cool and not run the risk of falling over outside. God is so good.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Can you hear me? Okay, that's great. Praise God, living God. We are fine. I would like to praise the Lord for being overwhelmed everywhere. There's COVID, Corona. But I'm very thankful and grateful that we've been reading many things. Go up the country, go out there. 2 days away, I rang my brother, Kenneth Shuha. I don't know whether many of you know him, but he is one of our strong men here. I was asking him, what is happening down there in the town? Because for him, he stays in the town areas. And he said, yeah, things are not good in my house, but over the neighbors, everywhere you hear of death, sickness, COVID. But I praise God that in the villages where we miss almost every facility in the hospitals, things are a little bit fair. Not many cases around us. Not that we are very well positioned, but because of God's mercy and grace, many in the villages are okay and fine, less cases. And this compared the president to say, everybody would go in the town. And I was saying, what? We had thought you just have a call for upper country living, go to villages. But now I'm saying things working out by themselves. Even if we are thinking of simple remedies, calling use simple foods, but now we are seeing just use lemons, ginger, which is almost everywhere here in the village. So I praise God for that opportunity that all in the town, a lemon, a basin of lemons have hiked prices from 3,000 to 100, about 200,000 Uganda money, you can imagine. From 3,000, that's a very simple money, less than a dollar has been a basin of lemons. Today, as we talk, a basin of lemons is over $50. That is now very good. And I continue praising the Lord and giving thanks to Him for you have been blessed and given opportunity to live in upper country living. Enjoy it wholesomely. So praise God that the Lord is still keeping us safe. The Lord is continuing providing even in the time of want, because transport to town is too high. to buy in the cities is too high, and for us, despite of the weather, which is harsh, but we at least average they can afford to move out of villages and pick something for our lives. So I really indeed praise God for having given us such an environment. And may God continue to keep us safe and bless us abundantly. Happy Sabbath, everybody. Amen.
Oh, James, you're talking about a wet track. Maybe your ink doesn't run. I print my tracks on my own printer here at home, and if they get wet, you just... I don't know if they have ink for home printers that'll be, permanent, I can't put out tracks when it's wet. It's a waste. They get wet, and their print all just smears.
Totally understand, bro. The ones I'm giving out, they're printed at a professional printer, so they're glossy, but still, you know, wet tracks, especially the rain. It wasn't just a drizzle. It was starting to come down somewhat heavy, but, yeah, I know what you mean. I got a printer at home, and, it's not on the glossy paper either, but I'm so glad. I'm sure most, if not all, got them. So I'm really glad about that. And Brother Bob mentioned something earlier when going out, if you're dealing with a COVID restriction, we've got one now in Perth until Friday, unless it gets extended Friday midnight, which we'll call Sabbath. And I know Brother Joel doesn't mean it's Sabbath today. It's the fifth day of the week for us. But I've got this little badge. Do you recognize that little fellow on there? You recognize his little... smile?
From a few years ago, I did.
From a few years ago? Okay. Yeah, I'm getting older. It was 5 years ago. It's got free digital multimedia. It's got my name. It's got my number. Everything's, I don't know if it's looking the wrong way for you. Just think of a fire engine. And then it's got the back details in case I lose it. If lost, please return to da-da-da-da. And so I might use that if someone gets excited to dob me in, and I'll just say, well, this is not, an unusual event. It's just a regular, and it's to deal with health. But it's a little cute little simple thing, a lanyard. Sort of makes things look a bit more professional, but you can live without it, of course. Any other praises brethren and sisters have? Well, shall we have a season of prayer? Praise. Would someone like to start us off? I'll go last. And, anyone's impressed to pray, please do so.
Our most kind Father, we thank you for this wonderful opportunities and the grace that you have bestowed onto us. We come before you on a very service, and today we are here for blessings and sanctification. Lord, we pray that you keep us holy as your service is holy. I believe you have given us everything to make us perfect and move in your way. Lord, may you continue to sustain us. We pray that you send the powers of the Holy Spirit to guide us in every other corners in everything we do. Lord, we thank you that you have provided the internet, that you still have access, and many of us cannot have, but we are able to meet and fellowship in this way. May whatever we talk, may whatever we share, edify us for life eternal. There are many who wish to listen at a later time, probably because of many other restrictions and the income here, they are not able to join us. Lord, open their inner ears that they may hear like we are hearing, like we are sharing. Lord, we thank you for the privilege of life you have given us, Lord. Continue to sustain us. Not that we are flowers in the world, but for a purpose. May your will be fulfilled through us as we become instrumentalities to finish your work in this world. Because we know the restrictions everywhere, and COVID restriction has become almost a song of every nation and every leader. Lord, may you give us avenues that we may be able to do some work for the perishing souls in the world. Lord, we thank you that you really listen to us. But those who are afflicted and are in pain and they want, Lord, stretch your strong arm that you may lift them out of their other problems. Others are very sick, Lord. May you find healing balm from the strength of your power, that you may raise them up, and they may know that you are a living God, and you are a great doctor, mighty life giver, whoever wants life to give. Lord, give us life a purpose in this world, that people may know that you are a God who works among us. When we call upon you, you listen and answer our prayers. We pray that may we be light unto the world. And Lord, may we be heads in whatever we do, that people may know that you are leading us in whatever we do. Lord, we thank you. We thank you that you are always here with us. We thank you that you always teach us. Give us whatever we need, and whatever we not mention and you find it fitting for us, provide in the time of need. Continue to keep us in this world where Satan has multiplied his efforts to fail us as we stay in this world. We thank you. We call upon the blood of Jesus to be sprinkled onto our lives. And we pray that may the sacrifice of Jesus Christ save us all who call upon his name. Lord, always listen to us when we pray to you. We thank you that you have listened even if you are not called upon to you, that you are always a caring God. God, always be with us. Enable us to meet the next day, the next hours to come, and whatever we meet and whatever we shall talk about when we meet, Lord, may it be of edification to the others as we share. Provide all other new avenues that you may pass your word on to others, that everybody may be saved and hear, so that you may go soon, may go home soon. We thank you always. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for this time that we have to share with one another the struggles we go through in daily life, and that you've made this possible through the inventions of the internet and ways to talk even when we're worlds away apart from each other. We can still experience being brothers and sisters in God's family. Thank you so much for being here with us. As we know, you've promised where two or three are gathered, there I am in the midst of you. And thank you so much for each one who has shared. Thank you for the love that you send, the love that you give, and for stories of long ago of people who had visions, all meant to bring us together in God's great family. Continue to strengthen us and continue to keep us in good health. And may we continue to enjoy each other's company on prayer meeting night and to learn more about the great life that you have promised and that you have made possible for us. Help us to reach out to those who are sorrowing. Help us to have that love that only you can impart to others. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Most precious Father in heaven, again, we thank you, as always, for the opportunity for this shared fellowship, which means so much to all of us. We know that you have said wherever and whenever we gather together, your Holy Spirit will be with us, and we do believe this. But may I say that I think for many of us, we do gain added comfort from sharing with like-minded people, so we can learn from one another. Many times your word has urged us to help spread the gospel as far and wide as we can. Please help us to become more effective at this in whatever humble way we pursue this directive, beginning for many of us with our families, our friends, and our work colleagues. We know we are far from perfect, dear Lord, forever falling by the wayside and asking for your help. But what comfort, enormous comfort, we have in knowing that we are always forgiven as long as we are truly repentant. How hugely grateful we are for this, one of the many, very many blessings you have bestowed on us. And may we always be aware of the wiles of Satan and not succumb to the many ploys he uses to try and lure us from the path of righteousness, as we've been learning about in our reading today. In conclusion, dear Father, please help us still further to develop single-minded devotion to you and your Son, so that we may ever let your light shine through us. We thank you for hearing our humble prayer, which we offer in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Precious Father in heaven, thank you, like sisters and brothers have shared tonight. You know, the joy of seeing you work in each of our lives, and that through your Son, through you, Jesus, is victory offered, not a make-believe victory, not a lacking victory, a complete victory. That this is what you're holding out to us, just as your blood covers from all sin. As we yield to the influence of the Holy Spirit and act on those convictions, believing in the power that's giving us the conviction of sin to also give us the power to repent of it from the heart and not live in them anymore. Thank you for Christian growth, without which this life would seem very meaningless to the Christian, let alone to the non-Christian. Thank you for the character building that comes from having our life extended and seeing your handwork, and especially recognizing that we're but dust and that animate at your command to choose life or death.
to choose falsehood that claims to be light, or to choose truth that does not claim to be in any way falsehood. Thank you for setting it plainly before us, Jesus, in a human being that you, in the human being that you are, what truth is, the epitome of it, the way, the truth, and the life revealed to us in the very being that all of us exist in, humanity. We uphold the precious souls that you've brought our way in different, especially our family members, but those we haven't met yet that are, we seek your preparation in meeting, that we might not withhold from them rays of light that we've had the privilege of receiving from heaven, and that it will be coupled with wisdom to speak the language of the gospel that will win them, just like they of old have done and is expected of us, not because there's something great about us, but you do give us abilities, you do give us gifts, and by the using sanctified through the Holy Spirit, they do bring fruits that are not our own, but the Spirit's. Control us, Spirit. We can trust your control. No one other, and especially ourselves, can we trust. But you, we can. When we know you, when we know the truth in which you are the Spirit of, and who has inspired the Bible and the gift of the Spirit of prophecy, revealed in the writings of Ellen White. Continue to be with Sister, dear Sister Joan, in her keeping the stress levels low, and especially becoming stronger on her feet even, and increase the joys of salvation for her as the week goes on, rolls on. We know when we are limited for one reason or another in some area, whether it's physically related or COVID related or something else or circumstances, family, etc., we don't want to be inactive in praising you. We don't want to be inactive in praying and trusting you. May the rest of the week be a sign that we've recognized you as being able to be trusted throughout the whole day and the night, for that matter, where we can praise you at the end of the day and night on top of the praises and prayers for the growth that you are fulfilling in us, fitting us up for heaven. That goes with the title of Christian. Thank you so much for looking out for each and every one of us, for allowing us to, you know, that it's no fun losing things. Money particularly is one of those things you can't really trace it back to anything unless someone's witnessed someone doing something. But even those sorts of things, you have kindly condescended to see to it that a gentle, kind-hearted, honest person, is touched by someone else's money being lost, is touched by someone else's property being lost, is touched by seeing, perhaps wanting to do something ill toward because of something on our part done that has opened up the door for the enemy to get in, and yet you still have the hearts. If you've got the hearts of kings in your hands, no different for a non-king for you to have in your hand and to steer away from doing any harm, just like Abraham was kept from harm. We look forward to the rest of the night, the day, whatever the time is, because Jesus lives to make intercession for us, our high priest offering his merits on behalf of the fallen human race for all those who want to have the benefits that come from trusting in him as their personal savior from sin. In Jesus we thank and pray. Amen.
Amen.
Is Brother Arthur waiting for my email? We will consent it early.
Sorry, Brother Willie. Did you want to share something?
Yes. Can you hear me? I'm clear. From the hospital that they are training, which is the hospital that is of this country. And then.
Dear bro, can you hear us? Can you hear us okay?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Oh, you just come back normally. We've been unable to hear you very well. It's been really, until I talked, it was very broken, unfortunately.
Okay, thank you. So can I can repeat. I was just saying, I want to praise God, but of course, to appreciate you, brethren, for the prayers that you offered during the sickness of my daughter, actually. She wasn't so bad. She tested positive with COVID-19. While rest in college where she's doing her nursing program. She got it from the big hospital where they are training from, in the capital city of this country. Then when she called me, I could just hear her crying. I comforted her. Then she told me, and I said, don't worry. I had some means, and I sent her some money. I told her what to buy, the natural remedies, of course, which included ginger and some garlic and also eucalyptus oil and many others, which she used in steaming herself, and then also took those others. And after a week, she was tested negative. She's fine. Like today, I was with her. She came to visit. She's much better. At the same time, I also want to appreciate your prayers also. I wasn't feeling well. I had like a strong cough and some colds. If you can hear my voice, it's a bit still down. But I'm fine. I'm fine. By God's continuing on the supplements which I got and also steaming myself. Thank you. May the Lord be with you, and may the Lord continue blessing my daughter and guiding us here in Zambia, because the situation is growing bad and bad with these cases now. Thank you.
Oh, that's wonderful news, brother. What a blessing for giving you perseverance and encouragement to go forward and treating it and having this successful story to share an experience with your second daughter. And we'll be keeping your dear first daughter in prayer, who
with the family who's lost her mother-in-law, I understand, has died, and her burial's today. Well, a song came to my mind while we were praying. Does anyone remember this song? Might be trying to remember the tune as I am. It's an old song, Charles Wesley. Let's see if I can attempt to remember it. And if anyone knows it, please feel free to take a line, a stanza. Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing, blessed be the name of the Lord, the glories of my God and King, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Jesus.
I'll give this a try. Jesus, the name that charms our fears. Blessed be the name of the Lord. His music in the sinner's ears. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen. He breaks the power of counseled sin. Blessed be the name of the Lord. His blood can make the foulest clean. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord.
I never shall forget that day. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When Jesus washed my sins away, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen and amen. Well, before we close tonight, is there anything else anyone would like to share?
before we finish off with our dear brother Dick? Well, it's been, as usual, a blessed time with you in the name of the Lord, and may God continue to guide and bless your day or evening, and we'll be brought back together, Lord willing, on the Sabbath. Looking forward to that. And until then and beyond then, keep looking up.
Life has its joys and sorrows too. Sometimes the mist will cloud your view. If you would strength and hope renew, there's just one thing to do. Keep looking up, thy God is still the same today. Keep looking up, he will not fail thee, come what may. Keep looking up, the darkest cloud will roll away. So do not doubt, but keep looking up.
Hugs all around. There you go, James. You messed the lady's hair up, don't you?
Don't smother the poor woman.
He messes my hair beautifully every time, as you've probably noticed. He does it very well. He's had a lot of practice. Thank you.
A lot of practice, okay. Thank you.
It looks very nice.
Your hair still looks beautiful, dear Lucy.
Thank you all. Thank you.